Welcome to the With the Wool podcast. We're here to talk about Digimon and inform a bit. I'm Mark, a run with the Will, and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I'm surprised I'm here this long.
300 episodes, of which you're here significantly more than you'd probably think, although I did not go back and check what the first episode you showed up at was.
I remember it was episode 69.
Was that the first one you joined, or was that the time when everyone vanished and you were coming on, and then Airdro was able to show up at the last second?
I'm not 100% sure, but I remember you said the first one I was in was episode 69, okay. And then I cackled like a demented gremlin.
Yeah, before we start, since it is episode 300, we should point out you've been here a long time. Prior to you, there was Victor, AR, Airdra. Definitely Jeff and Onke have shown up once in a while. We've been able to talk to Jeff Nimoy and Derek Stephen Prince. And we've gone over a lot of fucking news.
So much.
Yeah. And, one more person to thank. In our comments each week, Pate posts the start time when we swap from the pre-song to the preamble, which is fun to have that commented because we're both too exhausted to even remember to do that.
I mean, usually it starts like right around
9-ish minutes about.
Yeah.
But still, very nice that someone goes to the effort. So Dev, 300 episodes, anything you want to say at 300 episodes?
Thing I still want the most is a nap.
Well, if we go back 5 or 6 episodes, you got one of those.
Yes, unfortunately. Poorly timed nap.
Oh no, I still, the funniest part was, and we explained it, and I don't think people understand, it was literally like 3 minutes after went off when you popped up, like, I still had my headset on, you just like, shit.
Like, I'm awake, I'm here, I'm sorry!
Nah, it's fine. We recorded a little.
I didn't get isekai'd yet.
We recorded a little preamble with you, and it was fine. And then there's a weird number of threes this week, isn't there?
Yes, it is episode 30
of Digimon Beat Break. So let's go ahead and start with that. It is Wings to Protect You.
And like, that sounds like a evolution episode title, if there ever was one.
Yeah, and we start off with a fire/explosion at Kuanchi Industries, and we get to see a criminal in Lugermon.
It's like, oh, puppy!
It's funny. I flash back to when they said that part of how they're picking Digimon for this show is they were given a list of Digimon that Bandai or Toei would like to show up and stuff. So, like, it's neat to see Lugermon, and later we see Hell Lugermon. But do they do anything that's actually specific to, like, oh, this was, like, an important character a couple years ago?
It's just, oh, it's a puppy.
It's the Mook of the Week, which is kind of weird, because you would kind of wish that Lugermon would show up important. And they're brought to the egg for a job, deal with crime. And this is where we start to figure out that something is going off, they're told. Requested by the CEO. Makoto doesn't like this.
Yeah, I mean, last time they had a job in the egg, they kind of had to bust in.
Now, the weird thing, Makoto's pleased his brother wasn't hurt, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong, or is that not how he's got injured? Like,
he says his brother wasn't critically injured.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that then, so that's fine then. We get to enter proper, like you said, and we meet his twin, Tsukasa. The brother seems
like
very...
Like every other character named Tsukasa is kind of a huge bitch.
Yeah, I like how it's Makoto's worried about his leg, and his brother's just kind of disappointed that Makoto has shown up. And then we find out he hurt his leg during an invasion. He was driving away people trying to steal data, and he still supports his father in his work. And in walks his father. Do you feel like they could have drawn him any more suspicious looking?
He has pretty much the same facial features of this is going to be an asshole parent that no one loves that the Shademon's partner's dad was like.
He feels a bit more wrinkly, at least to me. And we're told, you know, he hasn't been around for a year. Then he's like, oh, you must be burdening Glowing Dawn. Kiyo wants to know why they were requested. And then we get the kind of not quite spiel, because we get it from Tsukasa rather than the dad, where he wants Makoto back in the family. He's the favorite. He was only driven out because he had a Digimon.
And it's like, we're sorry, Makoto got teen pregnant, so we kicked him out.
Yeah. Then he's like, Makoto ran away. He doesn't really need to come back. The father wants them to run the company together, and Makoto just wants to focus on the investigation. And this is where I would have... very good episode. I wish they hadn't have telegraphed that, like, Tropmon's scared of him. Because it kind of gives away the main thrust.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Makoto notes he wasn't quite kicked out like he said he was. It was more that Makoto refused to have Tropmon removed. So he was sent to cool down and they sort of just left.
Like, fuck this shit, I'm out. Yeah. Fuck you, Dad.
Then some of them go to talk to Tsukasa. Talks about the guy who they found his past that came in. And he joined a cult. A cult called Gift. I really do, where have we heard that from? This is weird because I really do feel like we could still be in the interlude setting up the arc. Because we're not actually getting, like, the arc yet.
Yeah. Because they, aside from the little flashy of the word gift on, like, two Sapatamas, it's about all that we've gotten so far.
Kyo wants Tsukasa to make up with Makoto. Tsukasa flips out a bit. And then we jump to the others coming across Hosho the criminal and Lugermon. And then we find out it appears his target's Makoto, and then we find out it's actually Tropmon.
It's like, oh yeah, by the way, I kind of made a deal with your dad to, you know,
actually,
murder your best friend.
I don't think they bring that up for a while, because at first they start with Tomuro and Armalizamon dealing with the flames, and then we get Makoto doing the chase. And then that's when it's like, he won't attack Makoto. It's like, ah, he could keep the data if he deleted Tropmon. Is it weird that the dad, like, just showed up during this robbery for that? I didn't think about this watching it. We also get the guy rambling about Gift. There are some interesting things here, but I feel like it needs to be clarified more. And then, hey, hell, Lugermon.
Like, I kind of like the idea that Gift is, like, they can just whip out perfect level Digimon whenever, it seems.
Especially since they seem to, like, claim that, like, oh, partnering with a Digimon like that is immoral and wrong. Because theoretically, you have to do stuff with them to get them to that level. And that seems to be what... it'll be interesting to see if they ever deal with that sort of dichotomy. And then we get a Makoto eye catch, which... I feel like the blank episodes, they really are too random with the eye catches, but they are targeted well in the actual, like, well...
the focus ones.
Yeah. Makoto running around with an injured Tropmon. Makoto's upset since the entire job's a setup. Then we get
I thought my dad needed me, but now he just wants to murder my best friend.
Tropmon's worried that it's his fault, that Makoto has to suffer. They flash back to the arguing there, the dad trying to take Tropmon. Tropmon's worried that Makoto's getting sadder because of him. This is where, like, I would like the terrible dad to have some depth. Instead, they just have him stomping on Tropmon.
Yeah, he's just a complete asshole for, like, no apparent reason.
This is where the show kind of falls into the... it wants to say it's made for more mature people, but then it falls into, like, the 8-year-old version of the dad has to be so cartoonishly evil. Like, when they had Ken, they can't just have Ken be the Digimon Emperor / Kaiser.
He has to kick puppies.
Yes, he has to actually walk and kick the puppy because they have to, like, stop to point out, no, he's evil. And then the show kind of forgets they did that.
Puppy had it coming.
Yeah.
He insulted Wormmon.
And during the flashback, we get Makoto wanting to run away. Tropmon saying he'll carry Makoto in the sky someday. Did they ever mention this before?
Because during the evolution sequences.
Not this one. I mean more like where Tropmon said this to Makoto in the past.
No, not really.
Okay.
Or at least not that I can recall.
Okay, I was wondering about that because I know it comes up in evolution stuff. I was wondering if this was like an actual thing they directly dealt with, or if it's more oh, we should throw this in right before it because it makes the next scene more emotional. Trotmont says,
yeah,
you remember
I know, like,
promise?
His little evolution catchphrase is fly.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I can really think of.
Then new insert song starts up as they hug. The dad backs away. Makoto comments he doesn't care about his bloodline. Glowing Dawn is his family. Evolution starts with the new insert song. I will say it was much easier for me to see in the first evolution to see the bridge moment with Knight Trotmon. Because remember, I didn't really see Armalizamon on the first Monarch one. This one, it was much more clear Knight Trotmon there to Scourge Trotmon, which is certainly a name choice.
What I instantly thought of were the Scourge aerial units in StarCraft.
Huh. So when I saw it flying around, I thought of the Valkyrie units from Macross, because it's like the stealth jet, and we also see like the Gerwalk legs. And then we get Makoto riding in it, not like a jet, but very much like Iori in Submarimon.
Yes.
They need to get outside because the egg's being damaged. And mysteriously, the egg opens up and we see the brother in the control chair. We get Scourge Trotmon shooting drones to triangulate. I have to be honest, I thought he was shooting these drones. It was going to shoot like a giant like triangle laser.
That's what I thought, too.
So when it dropped out the missile, it's like, oh, it's like a triangulating where the missile will go. I don't have an issue with it. I think the giant laser would have been cooler, though.
I mean, he does have a lot of other attacks listed on the reference book profile that maybe that could be a thing later.
And out pops the baby. They comment the wind feels great as they fly around. And we see the egg from the baby say gift on it. Then we get guys from the ministry show up to question Mr. Koenji about the incident. Everyone kind of wonders, where was that secret data going to be sent? Makoto says he's fine. Kyo brings his brother apologizes. One thing I like is the brother apologizes after he's realized he's wrong and has already helped. Like, he points out, like, he was desperate to be heirs of Makoto's position. He was the one who told the father about Trotmon. But this all comes up after he's already done what's right. It's not where, and you know, a lot of things make this flaw where the character apologizes, they get a no, then they have to prove themselves. He's already tried to do right, and I like that. It's about being honest at this point. It's not about amends or anything.
Yeah, it's not about like what happened right then. It's just like, sorry, I kind of snitched you out to dad like last year.
Makoto is only really concerned that his brother helped and opened the egg. They cry. We get Trotmon and Makoto looking out overnight, commenting they'll be together forever. Really good episode. It has the depth, the character depth, and the development that feel... When was the last time we had, like, proper character depth and development in the show?
Probably one of the Tactics episodes.
It's been a while, because, like, I want to say... It was the Monarch Lizamon episode, but even then, it was kind of less, it was thinner development. My main issue is I wish we'd gotten this earlier for Makoto.
Yeah, because we're already at episode 30 out of supposedly 50-ish.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do with Makoto next, because it feels like they've... Not closed the door on it, but they've dealt with his issues.
Yeah, at least most of his insecurities and, like, his placidness. So it's like, nope, he's piloting the fucking jet.
So I'm curious to see what they'll do next. I really need the gift arc to sort of start. Because it's a great Makoto episode, but this is and I may be losing track, it's the third episode of the gift arc, right?
Yes, and also for all that the social media has hyped Rose's minions, they still haven't said shit.
Yeah, I had that thought also, where, like, they hyped them. They were in the credits last week. We got the teaser of them seven episodes ago at this point? Because it's three of Gift and the three interlude. Now, to be fair, we'll talk about them in a moment. So, cast this time. The only reason I listed the person who played Tsukasa was if I didn't, people would ask. It's Arisa Sakane, who's Makoto. It's not unexpected.
They do that for twins.
It's not unexpected for twins. I, for some reason, when I see the design, I sort of felt like it was going to be somebody else. Because the design, when the design gets close like that, you sort of expect a different voice. But it's fine. Atsuki Tani Seiji, he was Zed Millenniummon in Ghost Game, our favorite and mockable version of Millenniummon. He becomes paperweight. He's Lingbo and Lupin the Third Part 5, Temujin and Silver Guardian, and Donna Marge in Kyuranger. And are you ready for some dubbed over content, Dev? Because this is where the gold is.
Yes, I would like to know.
Okay. He's dubbed over for Liam Neeson a number of times. Ares in the God of War franchise. Bill in The Last of Us. And you ready for the best one?
Yes.
Master Chief in Halo. And that one's
that
fun.
Is certainly.
And that one's funny because he did indeed play him in the Halo anime shorts also.
Huh.
Shunsuke Kanai was Hosho. He had some bit roles in Hacker's Memory, Time Stranger, and Ghost Game. Takahiro Miyamoto was Lugermon. New in Digimon, probably best known is he's been the Japanese voice of Goofy in various things.
He's a dog still.
Yeah, that I kept thinking, is that on purpose or no? And then next time we get episode 31, One Step Forward. Deep down, I sort of hate that title because it feels like we keep commenting about the arc not moving forward. So One Step Forward being the title. And also, when you see this...
Hopefully.
So here's what's funny is Agumon was created as a Saviors villain. But when you see it here, does it not feel like they're trying to capture a bit Adventure. Of 2020? Doesn't that feel
Absolutely.
Like what they're doing?
And 100%. Like, okay. As soon as I saw it, it's like, oh, they're not redoing a Ghost Game episode. They're redoing an Adventure 2020 episode.
And then, but we see... We see the Rose Girls in it, so hopefully they will actually talk, which I don't see how they can't, because they're actually, like, in the preview enough that I don't see how... Yeah, and people in chat, Tiny Iron Fist pointed out, Meadow jumping looked a bit ridiculous. I'm looking forward to...
She's a Sailor Scout, so she's allowed.
Yeah, I was thinking about that joke also. I'm looking forward to this episode, because I really want the gift arc to start, because it feels like something cool is coming up. So each episode, I'm like, oh, cool, it's finally going to start. And then it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we have some beat break news. So first up, episode 11 through 15 appeared on Hulu on Thursday.
Oh, I need to go and check that out.
Yeah, dubbed episodes, that is. So they've started, Tactics starts with 13, I believe. So there are a couple episodes into Tactics.
Yeah, I've just been listening to it in the background once in a while I'm doing other stuff, so
yeah,
I like it so far.
It's a mostly solid dub. It's a bit odd in that it's a well-done dub, but does it feel a bit dry?
I mean, it's a dub.
No, I mean dry in the sense of, like, they clearly...
The delivery of some stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit odd, but it...
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Then let's see. So then we get production art for episode 29. I think the winner this time is the Reina face.
Yes.
We get
the face of neutral displeasure.
We get a shot of the intro scene with Vamdemon of the light art. I think the coolest moment of this one is there's like a back shot where all of a sudden the camera drops. And you can see the background elements in 2D animate to it, like it wasn't done in 3D, and that looked really neat. Yeah. Then, preview of the June issue of Animedia, which our friend Shin was so annoyed at some people's translations of this, she's actually translating it slowly to put up. Like, some of the translations that were put up were so bad, she actually got upset.
I mean, I've seen some absolutely heinous translations of things before, and it's just like...
Oh, since Edgardo in chat brought up, he wanted to know if when we're saying dry, do we mean they're not adding puns or jokes? No, it's more that the delivery at times feels like the energy is a bit lacking. Like they have a good cast, but it's like they're not being directed to be punchy enough. One example might be trying to think of a, like a mod. It's harder to think of a modern one, but it's like if you go back to the 90s and you listen to a streamlined dub, and then you listen to the same actors in another company's dub, the streamlined one probably won't have as good of a translation, but it will always have more energy. Yeah, Edgardo's now asking now, so like more voice stretch required. Yeah, I would say that's the issue. It feels like it's more of a generic tone outside of moments like Tomorrow getting loud, for example. It feels like there's a lack of direction. And then we got the new insert song, which is Answer. So this song interests me for a key reason. Vocals, lyrics, composer arrangement, all the same people's Edge of Limit. Edge of Limit feels very much not necessarily like a Digimon song, but you hear it and it fits with Beat Break perfectly, right?
Yeah.
I hear this one. It musically feels very different, and it reminds me of a Bump of Chicken song.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah, for people...
That's because they kind of have that sort of like...
floatiness.
I do not have enough... Yeah, it's like the rising in the background. Like, I do not have enough musical education for the exact terminology.
For people who don't know, Bump of Chicken is a reasonably popular Japanese band that has done some big openings, some special songs. Most people probably would know them from either they did the music for the Transformers 40th anniversary short, and they also did the song for that Pokemon short about the boy with the Pikachu and the girl with the Eevee from a few years ago.
Yeah, it's really similar to that. And also Karma from Tales of the Abyss.
Yeah. So when I heard this song at first, I didn't realize it was the same people because it was so different. Then I'm sitting there listening to them like, this sounds like Bump of Chicken, but like it's not them. And then when we saw the credits, I'm like, that's really strange because everyone is the same as of Edge of Limit.
But it does fit more with Makoto's character.
I feel like it fits with Makoto's character around that evolution sequence. I'm not sure it would have worked
like
for
free
Makoto.
And floaty.
Yeah, I feel like if you go to Makoto 5 episodes ago even, which is the cruise ship one, I don't think it would have worked for Makoto there, for example. But yeah, very good song. Very strange to hear something so different musically. And then, Dev, how do you feel about the end of 13 Plus?
It's a thing!
You know what the weirdest part about 13 Plus was, honestly? So, before we even get into it being a mess, did you notice that he's detailing stuff that does not matter at all?
I tried not to pay too much attention to it.
See, I had to because I was putting it together. The weirdest one for me is... So, anyone who's paid attention to, like, old audio dramas or, you know, novel stuff, there's background information that has not shown up in the anime because it doesn't matter. Like, it does not matter the origin of the D-terminal because it just doesn't. They've given one, but it's never been relevant to stop and tell it, except they stop and tell it here. There's something odd about that. Did you notice what it was, Dev?
The thing where it's just, like... Wi-Fi enabled some bullshit.
No, Dev, do they have the D-terminals anymore in this story?
No, they shouldn't.
They don't. They don't have them. They stopped to explain the D-terminals because they don't... They, like, smartphones can do it now. We don't need the D-terminal. But here's an explanation as to what the D-terminal was and how it worked.
It's a cute little fun fact.
Okay, since a couple people in chat don't know, let's explain what 13 Plus is first. So... Director Kakadō, who directed Adventure and O2, and seemingly does not, I say seemingly, we don't technically know, but we can guesstimate, does not seem to work with others, wrote his own Adventure sequel. A couple shots of it were used to make Beyond, and Toei declined to deal with any sort of publishing of the, I don't want to say the full story, because it isn't really like a full story.
A bunch of vignettes, kind of.
Yeah.
Just mashed together,
so it's like,
sort of.
So it's like his version of what the next adventure would be. The problem is, so like, first he talks about the title. He talks about how the title's like, oh, there's 13 things in the anime franchise. That's not really accurate. And even if you go over, like, did you see his explanation of the name?
It's like takes place 13 years after.
That's part of it. But the other one was is that right now there's 13 anime universes. So, Dev, would you like to know how he counts these to get to this? So, Adventure and O2 are one. That's fine. We'll put that aside. Tamers, okay. Frontier, mm-hmm. Savers, Cross Wars, Atmon, 2020, Ghost Game, Beat Break, X Evolution. Then he counts Try Last Evolution in the beginning separately, each one separately from each other. And yeah, and then it's weirdly questionable if any of them exist in this world because it's not completely obvious if the characters from those are the same characters who have somehow traveled or if they're actually meant to be some universe where those didn't happen, but they remember it anyways.
There's metaphysical bullshit
on. It's also weird because, like, if you don't like the beginning, do you really want another story where Louis is the lead? Because he's kind of the lead of this. Also, the weirdest thing, and he points out it's weird, a good chunk of Beyond and the intro here is them in the car with Iori and the kid, and that's 2 or 3 years before the main story, correct?
Yes.
At the end, they point out that has nothing to do with the story of this.
Despite it being essentially an opening sequence, yeah, which should have
it's
more importance to the story overall.
It's there's so much odd stuff. Like, you get the big crossover thing where everyone shows up, but the Tamers characters don't, except for we get... See, everyone's saying that it's the not-clone Takato. I thought it was the future disembodied voice Takato. Now, they're both from the same audio drama. I thought it was supposed to be the future disembodied voice version.
It was all over just a...
Yeah, it's...
unpleasant read. I guess I'm just exceptionally picky on which pros I choose to read, and sometimes just all over the goddamn place.
The crossover stuff was fun, except they don't do anything with it. It's just... Yeah, it's weird.
They did more with it in Hunters.
I still think the coolest part of Hunters was that since they didn't want to reuse the evolution scenes because they weren't going to be widescreen and everything, where they animate the evolutions just in normal animation.
From like the perspective, like the outside perspective of whoever's watching.
So one interesting thing, and remember, ignoring like typos, Kakido says this was done by the time Beyond was put up. There's actually a few things that it appears that he may have played with after. Most notably, he points out that at the time, Beat Break was very much like an early thing, which is why Beat Break sort of gets mentioned, but like it's sort of like, oh, it's a kid with glasses, and there's other people, and also Digimon. But also, a Digimon seems to recognize what appears to be Pristimon's voice. And yeah. I don't think Pristimon would have been cast at that point, because Pristimon's VA is Hiro's voice actor.
Would they have been cast? I don't know.
Would they have been cast in March for October? I don't know. It is weird, though. Like, I have to be honest, like, I still remember the moment when I was like, oh, please don't, when he starts detailing the castle. I'm like, no, don't. And then they stop, and Daisuke and Ken are like, huh. It feels like I've seen this castle before.
Have you, though?
I don't mind. Like, if they had done something cool with the castle from the evolution sequence, it would have been neat. They point out, like, oh, it's this big, important thing. Everyone stops, goes, huh, that looks familiar. And then they immediately blow it up. It's only there for the reference and nothing else. But it's even like, Demon was kind of a talky guy in O2. He doesn't talk. He doesn't have a body when he comes back. The O2 kids don't fight him, even though they're his villain.
Yeah.
Instead, we get Omegamon not even really beating him up. They kind of blow up the hot white room, if anyone's familiar with X-Men. It's very weird. I really don't like it because it's really kind of a mess.
I no longer feel bad about my terrible... self-indulgent Digimon fanfic.
Oh, no. I still remember when people were talking about it in the Discord chat, AR is like, I'm just happy that everyone seems to prefer mine.
We do. We do greatly.
Yeah, it... I think part of the issue is this. It doesn't feel like a coherent story. It feels more like he's angry, at least to me. Since someone was asking chat, no, not the the Hot White Room is like this metaphysical space in X-Men where the Phoenix and certain other things are. And now chat's deciding if he gets to be angry or not. And it's like, no, because he stopped 10 years before that and he chose to leave. Like, that's the funny thing about, like, working on media. Once you leave, you've decided you're not part of it.
Yeah, it's like you can't just say, like, oh, well, I wouldn't have done that. It's like, well, you're not here.
That's why, like, anytime I can work on a show, even if I don't necessarily like the show, it means I can make sure it's presented as well as possible for fans. If I decide, oh, I don't like the show, I don't want to be involved, then I can't really complain after the fact that, like, it didn't do what I wanted. Like,
you weren't involved, yeah. So shut your mouth.
Yeah, I would say shut your mouth. I would say you have to figure out the way things work, and he really doesn't. Then moving on from 13 plus, which was disappointing. 2020, they're going to be streaming for free on the Toei YouTube. 10 episodes every Friday. The first
are they keeping them up, temporary engagements?
They have not clarified how long for. It sounds like the idea is pseudo permanently, but it wasn't. It was English, Portuguese, Spanish, and one more. I can't remember what the fourth language was. I remember English, Spanish, Portuguese. I don't remember what the fourth subtitle language was. But yeah, they're putting them up, subbed, free to watch. I don't know what the geo blocks look like per region. Someone else will have to comment on that. But yeah, more availability for the show, always good. And then
I'm going to corrupt my tiny relatives with how easily accessible that is.
Yeah, no news for the dub, which is the one people have been asking for. At the moment, it's still on Hoopla for those with a library card. So we will see, though. Then some updates for Digimon Up. They showed off Biomon. The 50-tier Digi Emerald for pre-registrations unlocked with a very. I don't know why people don't seem to not like this Gilmon sprite. I've seen multiple people comment.
It's because his nose is very flat, like an alligator. So normally Gilmon's face is kind of like boxy, but it looks like you put his nose in a clamp.
I guess. Gomamon.
It's the nose. Gomamon is perfect. We love him.
I like that he's doing a flip. Then the Paramon sprite, which seemed to get people excited because people really did not like that Vital Bracelet sprite. People seem to like this one a lot more. Then the final 100K unlock, which is Geckomon.
Fuck
so,
yeah.
So everyone gets Geckomon. We'll see when the game releases. And do you think we'll get enough? This is the third campaign that we've gotten, Dev. Do you think there will be a fourth and or a fifth, possibly?
Probably a fourth, depending on when exactly the release date is.
Do you think it'll be more pre-registrations for the app, or do you think it'll be more follow on social media?
I feel like social media follows, because there's they can do with pre-registrations.
Yeah, it makes sense. Then from the card game, we have images of all the cards from Booster Set 25, Starter Decks 23 and 24, LMO7, along with a bunch of promo cards. Do you know how long it was for me to do this article, Dev?
I'm so sorry. More or less long than dealing with 13 plus.
Well, do you want to know what? Less long than. Do you want to know what the funny part about the card articles like this are, Dev? If you look and if you pay close attention, so that the page doesn't load slowly for people, the embeds are actually different than what you get when you click on them.
Oh.
So it's actually loading very small thumbnails, and when you click those, it pops open in a different page, the larger card.
That is greatly appreciated, so you do not murder our phones.
Yes. But yeah, so lots of previews this time. Hopefully it means next time there'll be slightly less, because damn, there was a lot this time. Then Limited Card Pack 9 went up for pre-order basically 40 minutes ago. Distancio Serra. It has 4 cards that are new parallel cards, 6 new cards, 23 color borders, and really, there's only one card that people want to know about, and it's not an answer I can give, Dev. have you noticed it?
I possibly.
Have you seen the Sister Mon Sisters training gym card?
Yes.
It has Noir. Yeah. And people are like, oh, are they actually including Noir? We don't know if they're actually including Noir or if they just copied images from the Japanese one, which isn't up yet, and if that will be changed. So I would...
They might. They probably will.
Well, my point's more is if you're rushing to pre-order to get like the first card in the English version that gets Noir, I would wait because it would not be shocking if that changes.
Like, oopsie, by the way, yeah. You're not getting her.
Yeah, I would wait just to make sure. Then from new issue of Card Battle. So it's funny. They skipped over the unboxing in the English version to only do the Digica Times portion, which is producer Rui in one of his first appearances. This would be his second full appearance. Going over previews for the end of the year and early next year. So we get some previews for Booster Sets 27, Ignition of X, Craniumon X, Thundermon X, Night Trotmon, and Jumbo Gamamon. Night Trotmon really doing his best Batman impression there, isn't he?
Yes, especially with like the angle of the city and the whole Batman-ness of it.
Yeah. Then EX-14, Malevolent 7. We get previews of Leviathan and Lilithmon.
Yes, I love the Lilithmon one with the little Tsukaimon.
So what I was going to say was, look at the Leviathan one. We get like the action of him like almost like being sucked into the water and like the terror.
Splash.
And Lilithmon, it's her and two Tsukaimon fucking around.
You're adorable.
Then they finally
such a good time.
They finally comment that Eliason is coming out this year. It's scheduled for this year. And in December, we will get two starter decks themed after Eliason. Starter deck 25,
Rubius Dramon.
There we go. And Yukinomon. We also get previews of Liskmon, Tankomon, and each of those will get a free booster pack of booster set 27 included with each starter deck, which is a nice little bonus. And then they also unpack cards of booster set 25. And one of my favorite things was when the producer's there, because I think a lot of people miss that most of the gags they do are meant to be scripted. They're not meant to be ad-libs. So it's scripted for Chiba to be like sucking up to the new producer. So like he starts like rubbing his shoulders, asking him if it's too hot in the room. Yeah, so lots of decent card previews. It's been nice to have a few calm card weeks though, hasn't it?
Yes, and not like just describing cards for all of eternity.
You know, it's fun to describe the cards. The problem is, there's enough of them where we go, I don't have anything to say about this card.
It's like, it's certainly a card.
If you want to certainly talk about something, Dev, how do you feel about denim?
It's comfy and easy to wear.
Do you need Digimon-themed denim?
Please, no. So here's the thing.
Yeah, we knew this was coming because they showed it off in, it was V-Jump, wasn't it? I think it was V-Jump last month. So May 15th at Annabirth and May 22nd at Toy Online Shop, Digimon Adventure denim products. So 8 can badges. Here's the thing. I need to see these to see, are they actually metallic or are they actually like denim?
Yeah, it's like, did they print on the fabric?
I feel like the answer is going to be no, but we can hope. A lunch tote bag, a flat pouch. Now, here's where it gets confusing. They have the one-point embroidery cap, which looks like a perfectly fine cap, which I need to see in person to see if it's actually denim. And then they have another cap, which is the one-point embroidery cap sitting plushy version. I'm like, it's weird because like I get that it's supposed to be a sitting plush on it, but the pose isn't that different. So I looked around. I believe it's actually meant to be a hat for the Agumon sitting plush plushie.
Oh,
which is what, which is why it looks like half the cost and it's less detailed. I think it actually fits on that plush.
That would make sense.
Then we have a pass case.
I have to see the actual photo of it.
A 1-point embroidery shirt. Now here's where we're both. I feel like we're both disappointed. This shirt does not look like denim. Would it not be the funniest fucking thing on the planet? Just have, like, a full denim t-shirt with an Agumon patch on it?
Yes, or, like, a jean jacket. Yeah.
Then
that would have been perfect.
Okay, wall art can badge. They don't say what the size of this is, but it's also, like, only 770 yen, so can't be that large. I thought maybe it'd be, like, giant wall art.
It'd be cool if it was, like, clock-sized.
But here's the thing. It's cheaper than the normal can badges. So how big can it be?
Can't be that big.
Yeah. And then a hologram sticker of Agumon. That is such, it's such a funny theme, because the theme is just denim, and half the stuff is not denim.
Oh my god, I need to make a new Wikimon article for denim Agumon.
Then...
Why did this not come out a month and a half ago?
New poll, Dev. Your favorite Digimon Tamers 25th Anniversary Kenji Watanabe art.
My vote was for Aruki and Renamon.
I don't know who I think will win here, because it feels almost like this
They're
could be a three-way.
They're all really good.
Yeah, this is like, there is no, like, okay, you get these three, and also Ryo is here. Where we can go, okay, Ryo's going to be at the bottom. Like, I could see an argument for almost any order.
It's like the art on all of them is equally badass and awesome. It's just like, okay, like, which characters are your favorite? Because Terriermon looks so fucking cute. But I mean,
yeah,
Renamon looks badass.
Yeah. Okay, if you had to guess the placement, what do you think it's going to be?
I feel like Sakata's going to be at the top then.
Okay, I think
Rookie and Terriermon fighting for last place.
Yeah.
I think it'll be pretty equal, though.
I feel like I agree with you. I've wafted in my head even before I asked that question. Like, if Takato won, and then I keep flipping on the other two, because it's like, okay, Ruki and Renamon, great, but it's like, Terriermon alone might be able to get a second place.
If it was Terriermon assistant, he would get first place.
Yeah.
Put a little lab coat on the bastard and give him a tie, and then he suddenly wins the poll.
I really hope they keep doing these yearly, because they've been really neat. And then, in the potpourri of stuff, so first up, we have reference book update. Scourge Trotmon was added right when the episode ended. I actually really like the reference book art. I can't decide if it's better to have him in that sort of Gerwalk mode, which has not really shown up that much yet in the anime, or if we should have gotten, like, a cool, speedy, fly thing.
I kind of like this one because it kind of shows him, like, in action. Otherwise, you could just
say,
you know,
Jet.
Mistake, but like, oh, it's Barrowmon.
Yeah, that makes sense. Then the Toei Animation Museum was closed on what was declared to be Reina's birthday, so they put up art of Reina the next day and also showed off general Digimon products in the shop along with Reina-themed ones. Then
chalk art's really nice.
Kenji Watanabe was at Japan Comic Art Expo over the weekend. He also noted when day one ended and he was walking home, he went through the shopping street and he saw an unimaginable world where geisha and dinosaurs were dancing to the song Senban Sakura.
There must have been a convention getting out nearby.
To be fair, this would have been like a it would have been a Saturday night, so it could have been just like a Saturday night party event.
Possibly. Usually, whenever you see those inflatable dinosaur costumes, it's a goddamn convention.
Then, I believe you... I know a few people asked about this last week. I think you did also while we were recording was, did we have any photos or footage of the costume parade?
I did, yes.
And I had mentioned
but
that
it turns out Megumihan.
Megumihan was there. She took photos. She took videos. And she's in the front, even though it does not appear she's in, like, the guest area. She just happened to get there and be in the front, which matches every event that we've seen where Megumihan, whether she's invited or not, loves going to events. And as we've said many times, there are many Digimon events going back 20-ish years that we only have images of because she was at them as a kid and took photos.
We appreciate her service to the Digimon community of archiving everything if she possibly can.
Then, as Maria put up art of Omegamon to celebrate because our war game was streaming as part of the Japan-only YouTube Digimon Film Festival. He thinks it's good to stream our war game every year. And he also noted that even if you, because he does art for various franchises, we point out, for his followers who haven't seen Digimon, they should at least see this movie once. Because for people who don't know, he also works on Gundam Seed stuff. He's worked on Symphogear and plenty of other. There are many things, like 99% of what
he gets around as an artist.
Like, we know him for being very pointy. He does stuff that's not pointy for other brands. Then May 4th was Rose's birthday, so Digimon TV put up a nice bit of art. And Takira Kojima, who's the character designer for the show, also did one of his facial portraits. Do you like how every time he draws the sparkles?
Yes.
And then a few days later, like we said, on May 7th was Reina's birthday, Digimon TV. A lot of people didn't like the angle of the shot. I kind of loved it.
It's really cool and interesting.
Yeah, it is. I liked it. And for those who want something a bit more normal, Takira Kojima did a facial portrait of Reina with sparkles.
Everyone deserves sparkles.
And then we get some art for Beat Break episode 30. Kojima drew art of Tsukasa and Makoto. It's funny, he doesn't often do the episode-by-episode art anymore. Like, he does a piece of art for each episode, but generally it's something from two or three episodes before to not, like, give stuff away.
Yeah, it also depends on his schedule, too, because some of these get a chance to put it up right away.
Akamine Aki did art of Makoto. Very nice bit of art, to be honest.
He looks so fluffy.
Yeah, Abe drew art of Makoto and Trotmon. They worked on the flashback scene.
Aw.
Yeah, and Digimon TV put up one of their fancy images of Makoto introducing Tsukasa to Trotmon properly.
It's a precious baby.
And then moving on to that is questions. You guys in chat can throw your questions up as we go to the ones that were sent ahead. Someone said, congratulations on 300 episodes. Do we think we'll both be here in 300 more episodes? See, here's the thing. If we keep weekly, 300 is only like, that's 6 years. That I could see. I don't think we'd still be doing this in 10 years, do you?
As long as we don't get isekai'd.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see. It feels weird that it's been 300 episodes. I mean, even for you, Dev, it's been nearly 250, so it's not even that different.
Yeah, not that much of a difference. That in my sense of time is always completely fucked. Yeah. So, I mean, it could be 50 or 250, and I wouldn't really recognize the difference.
Then someone asked us, do we think we'll get enough Reina development that we'll be happy by the time the show ends? Okay, so here's we have episode 30. Let's pretend it's going to be 54 episodes. So let's say we have 24 episodes left. We don't, but let's say there's 24 episodes left. How many Reina episodes could we actually expect at this point when we haven't really gotten a fulfilling one yet? Like, at most, three?
Three was also my guess.
Yeah, I, like,
it's because you still have Tactics floating around. You have the rest of the five stars. You have definitely getting ultimates for, you know, everyone else, so.
See, I don't know if it's going to be rushed, because, like, you could easily just have Tactics swing in the last five episodes to help. You could easily, like, what's her name, Honoka. Do you actually have to do stuff with her, or could she just get blown away when we're not looking, basically? And, like, Genjo just blows away half of the stars.
That would be fucking hilarious.
Because, like, we got like, one real episode with Honoka, and all she did was, like, show up, attack, and then go, yeah, I'm bored with this. I'm trying to think, would three episodes, do you think that would be fulfilling enough for Reina that we'd be happy with the development? I guess the question would be,
it depends on what the development is.
Like, if we get the three richest episodes possible, then yeah, cool. If it's, okay, one Makoto-style evolution episode, and that's all we really get, then no. There's too much unknown.
The quality, not the quantity.
I guess the question is, do we think we'll get enough? Not, like, what would be enough. They say, do we think we'll get enough? I would say no.
No.
I expect one or two episodes of development for it. So, we'll see. Someone said, do we celebrate the episode with a cake? No, because you have to remember, we're nowhere near each other.
We are far away.
I think I have some Kit Kat Darks in my fridge. I can get one after we record.
Oh. I mean, I did have cupcakes, but they're kind of stale now, so I'm not going to risk eating those.
I should point out, since it came up in chat about, you know, the redo of the Dragon Ball Super Beerus stuff. It's probably less that that's starting, so Digimon's ending, and more that Digimon was always going to end, so they're putting Beerus there before the next Dragon Ball Super show starts. It's probably more
well,
that
scheduling for shows in Japan is pretty controlled and tight.
It's probably less that they're kicking Digimon off for that, and more that they knew when Digimon was going to end. They don't plan to have the next Dragon Ball Super show until X, so they're doing remasters of other Dragon Ball stuff to fill the time. Someone said, what type of home video releases are the ones that I get excited to buy since home video is a niche market now, but it feels like so much comes out, so what do I look at to get? Mostly the stuff that I'll enjoy watching, to be honest. Like I'm still really, I got a shipping notice for Speed Racer 4K today, and I'm hoping that looks cool.
I hope it arrives safely.
Yeah. Let's see. Is there any other releases coming out that... I mean, I've mentioned the Jackie Chan box a few times. They're doing a ludicrously overpriced version of Hamilton because they know people who want it will buy it. I'm looking forward to that, despite the price. That's going to be horrifying. Because they're not just doing, like, a 4K disc. It's a 4K disc with a special case, and it comes with random tchotchkes that most people won't want to knock the price up. So we'll see. Here's a good one, Dev. Are you ready? What is our favorite version of Omegamon?
Okay, so for me, it's probably going to be Merciful Mode, just because I love the colors and also the feathery wings, and it looks really fucking badass.
Yeah, I would say, I waft between Merciful Mode and Normal Omegamon, because that design's just so simple, but it works so well.
Look, I'm a slut for glowing blue lines on things, okay?
Yeah, Merciful Mode one's really good. Someone's asking if Omegamon counts. You can count Omegamon if you want.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, Normal or Merciful Mode for me. See, I feel like we see Normal Omegamon so much, it's easier just to keep him in mind, to be honest.
He's also pretty fucking cool to begin with.
Let's see. Oh, someone asked for Kakadu's short story. They're wondering if we think it would have worked better if it was a movie instead of text. The problem there is it's not like it's a straight script where we can say how this would work, because,
it's a bunch of little stuff that's all over the place, both location-wise and chronologically.
Like, for example, if you're excited by the idea of the cameos, if the entire, say, Atmon portion is like two lines. It's like, oh, these are Atmon. They're sort of like Digimon. That's fine. Like, that is, I think, all that shows up for it. Like, if you're excited about Atmon showing up in the story, you want to see them, fight, or, you want to see some sort of character thing, you know what I mean? Like, in text form, the story's not there. So, it being a movie would be a different thing. I'm not even sure it works as a movie. I think you would almost have to do it as, an OVA or something.
Maybe, a bunch of comics, maybe?
I guess. The problem is, as it's built, it's not really built as a story, is what I mean. And, I mean, you've said it too, it's kind of vignettes that need to be fleshed out to be anything. At least to me.
Yeah, and there's not really enough, connectivity.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but they're not gonna stop and animate Doraemon in CGI. Which is one of the things that the text says, that they don't look 2D, they show up as CGI creatures. that is a text moment that you write because you know you don't have to do it.
God, I'm just imagining it look like Sharknado.
Andy Hang asked, who is our favorite ex-antibody Digimon?
Doraemon.
I feel like mine is somewhere between Alphamon and Tokomon X, just because it's so goofy that they have Tokomon X basically just to have Tokomon, and then they just have the ears crossed.
I love it. It's the precious baby.
I know.
But Doraemon is, it's purple, it's fluffy, you chop the fox and the dragon and mash it together and it's perfect.
Yeah, but The issue with picking Doramon or Alphamon is it reminds you of that fucking toy.
The one that's on my shelf right now staring at me because it's not completely transformed into Doramon, because at some point I just gave the fuck up and said good enough.
How much transformed into Doramon is it? Like, if you were to give a percentage, what percentage properly turned into Doramon is it?
85%.
That's better than most.
Usually around the tail area and underneath is kind of fucked up, but that's kind of okay from the side.
That's further than the toy development team got in that race. For people who don't remember this, we've brought it up a number of times, but it's funny. When Digivolving Spirits was coming out, this was when Tri was still going and everything, when they would do streams to promote Tri and the brand and everything on a normal basis. At one point, the Alphamon transforming figure was going to come out soon. So they go, okay, we have two of them, and we have, it was like, one was a developer, was one a Victory Uchida, or was it someone else? I think it was Victory Uchida.
I think it was Victory Uchida.
Because I think he was helping with the development. And they're like, we're going to have a race of them transforming Digivolving Spirits Alphamon. I don't remember which way.
No one won.
They stopped after like 5 or 10 minutes when they were going nowhere.
Yeah, one had to like completely start over because they... Yeah, it was a mess. It's like, yeah. Oh, which one did it first? Like, no, they all failed.
Then, let's see. Someone said, are there any kitchen gadgets you like? It feels like a lot of junk. I like when they ask us the weird questions.
I think it really depends on what you actually like to eat and will realistically use. Like, I don't have one, but I would love one of those really fancy Japanese rice cookers, because I would use the hell out of that.
I'm finding a picture of one to show you, Dev, because I got it for a family member who thought it was going to be junk, and they actually loved it. And I'll show chat this also. It was a jar container opener. Because, you know, I got it for a relative who was getting
really
older.
Useful.
No, it is. And, like, it, like, opens. I've seen, like, people who have trouble opening jars being able to open anything really quickly, and it just works.
Yeah, because I've, like, fucked my hands up opening jars and things like that, because my parents can't get it open. They hand it over to me, and sometimes the jar breaks before the lid comes off.
So what you're saying, Dev, is I need to link you this on Amazon.
No, I'm good. I just brute forced it out of spite. But I understand the usefulness of it.
Yeah, that would be mine. Although, I have to be honest, I still love my fucking popcorn popper. The Whirly Popper.
Yes, it's so nice and tidy, and it just cleans up really easily, and just like, I can just make popcorn without any guilt or worry of like, oh god, now I have to like clean this up and wash this pot out. It's like, I just, a little bit of soap, wipe it down, it's done. It's fine.
Yeah,
just
I
right
like
back
it.
In the cabinet.
Then Ramon asks, on the next podcast milestone, do you think we do a recap talking about first episode or other funny moments? I don't think so, because like, Dev wasn't around.
I don't remember.
Dev, you weren't here for the first episode.
Yeah, and I wouldn't remember anyway.
Yeah. Funny moments, I feel like we bring up the funny moments enough where we don't need to do them in an episode. And plus, the funny...
Then you can just go back and rewatch them.
The funny moments, honestly, are any time that we literally... It's like, AR, can you be here for episode 300? No, sorry, too busy. And then we know in a month or two, it's going to be like, AR, will you be here this Monday? We have food to talk about. He goes, I don't know, but we'll see. And then he'll show up for it. So we'll see.
Look, if there's some sort of horrifying monstrosity collaboration, he will manifest.
Yeah. Last call for questions from chat. Someone said, do we plan on going over Time Stranger on the Switch 1 and 2 when it comes out and how it runs on those? There's a second part to the question. We'll answer that first. I think you were going to hit for the Switch 1, right, Dev?
Yeah, because, I mean, unless a new Zelda game comes out, I'm not getting a Switch 2 yet, because, goddamn, that's expensive.
I will try to get it for the Switch 2. We'll see. I'll figure out. Worst case is, I assume there'll be a demo and I can do some testing on that. And then some said, out of all the systems, which do you recommend the game on at this point with the new ones coming out? I assume they mean when they're out on the new ones. Whatever you have. Is my like,
yeah, it's on enough systems that
here's the thing, like,
whatever's convenient.
Yeah, like if you're Like, if you have everything, you know what works the best for you. If you only have one thing, go with that. If your choices are Switch 1 and PC, it's possible the PC 1 might run better. It's whatever works better for you.
Realistically, I'd get it on the Switch just because...
And the Switch version...
I can pick it up and carry it around.
Well, the other thing was the Switch 1 version, if you run it on the Switch 2, it will download a patch to be the Switch 2 version.
Nice.
So get whichever one you want. We'll see how they all get upgraded in July, which may change that answer. Because, like, technically speaking, they said that ignoring the Switch 1, the other platforms will all get HDR in the new update. They have not mentioned that for PC. So the PC version's the best at the moment, but we'll see what happens with HDR. And then Andy asks, will we do an episode explaining how far the podcast has come to the 300th episode? I feel like we kind of did that this episode, to be honest.
Yeah, just
I happened to show.
You asked and I showed up.
And then you kept showing up.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's it for questions.
It's something to do on a Monday night.
Dev, for episode 300, what Wikimon article would you like everyone to read?
Doramon, because it is my favorite fluffiest baby.
Is there specifically one for X Evolution Doramon where people have to see the CGI?
I mean, you could. There is an X Evolution version of Doramon.
Do that. Okay. Thank you. I don't think I'm around next Monday, so we will probably record Sunday based on Dev's schedule, so maybe Tuesday. I assume Sunday.
Sunday usually works.
Yeah, probably. So we will catch you guys all next week, probably on Sunday. Thank you, everyone, for showing up, and who, whether this is your first episode or you've been in here for all 300 somehow, thank you, everyone, for showing up. We will catch you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.